have your Bibles with you, would you turn to 1 Corinthians 13? We're going to look at verses 4 through 10. In light of the fact that it is Mother's Day today, the Lord put on my heart to preach about love. And the title of this message is, What Love Is and Is Not. What Love Is and Is Not. You have to search far and wide throughout the earth to find anywhere else the kind of love that a mother has for her children. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that today. Of course, God's love trumps everything, right? He is love. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning to read in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word and just pray, Lord, that this morning, for such a time as this, that, Lord, you would open our hearts, open our minds, make them fruitful for the seed of your word. Lord, we are thankful that you brood over your people, that you are a loving Father. And I just pray, Lord, as I bring this message, that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that, Lord, you would step forth and reveal yourself, you'd put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. One description of what love is this: unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the well-being of another. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the well-being of another. It's a short definition, but I think it encapsulates what I think it does a good job, is why I selected that one. Love being unselfish. It means, well, I've seen this displayed. I saw it displayed in my own mother. I see it in my wife. If there's not enough of something, my wife is the kind of woman that will make sure the kids and I have all I want, and if there's not anything left, she'll go get something else to eat. That's the kind of woman she is. And over the years, I've learned that many moms are like that. They'll give you yours first, and they take what's left. There are mothers that are caring for their big family, and they're being waiting on them at meals, and those poor women have never had a warm meal in their lives. And we don't think about that. But we should. Because they're serving their family, and they're taking what's left. They're eating their meal cold, or At least nowadays, we have microwaves, right? Well, how many of you would admit it's not just quite the same after it's been microwaved? Admit that? And I hate microwaved hot dogs, by the way. Just don't microwave me a hot dog. Don't like them. But that's moms. Love is loyal. Loyalty is something that we don't see much of in our culture today. But moms are loyal to their children. Love is means you have benevolent concern for the well-being of another. A mom is always concerned for the well-being of another, especially those that they are in charge of taking care of. Always concerned about the well-being. Let me get you this. You got a headache? Let me get you this. You getting a cold? I thought I heard you sneeze. Let me get you this. Take this. Come on now. My children, who are adults and have children of their own now, it's very common for them to call and say, Mom, have you got any of this? Yes, I do. Well, can I come down and get it? Yes. Because you're caring for your children no matter how old they get. I look at my children down here. Guess what? No matter how old you get, you're still my children. Let's pick apart these verses we just read. Let's look first of all at what these verses have to say about what love is. First in verse 4 it says, love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. Would anybody admit it's not always easy to be patient? Raising children, and they hit 11-teen, 12-teen. Somebody know what I'm talking about. They start getting, whatever age it is, they start getting what I call teenage-itis. I'm not picking on young people. I love young people. I'm just glad we're through that stage with our kids. Those of you that have been through it, come on, help me. Don't leave me hanging here. But I got to confess, raising our children, my wife, being a mother, was more patient with my children than me. I'm getting some agreement up here in the front row. I'd come home from work after 14 hours and I wasn't much in the mood to put up with anything. Somebody understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we need some attitude adjustments. I was ready to kick butts and ask questions later. I got time to reason this all out. Here's what you did. You were told not to. This is your punishment. My wife was more like, oh, I don't know. Gotta make moms different than dads. Right? When the kids are doing something that really, you know, it's habitual, and you've told them and told them and told them. I get to the point where everyone kicked their butt so bad my foot was twitching. I'm a dad. Somebody know what I'm talking about. My wife would be like, Gotta level with you. I think there were several times she saved my kids' lives. I'm just being real, guys. Moms, they love. It's not that I didn't love my children. I just didn't have the capacity for that kind of patience. And you know what? I think it was a good thing because we kind of balance each other out. That's the way God made us. You don't want to be too lenient, and you don't want to be too hard. So I needed somebody saying, And she needed me saying, no! This is the 17th time I'm done! There's going to be a price to pay this time! Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. I have never one time heard my wife, when my children call and say, Mom, have you got this? Whether it's over-the-counter medication, which we could open a drugstore. My wife is prepared. I'm just telling you, the over-counter stuff, man, we got her covered. Now, don't be calling me for... But never one time, even if they're baking something or cooking and they need something, they know my wife is well stocked. And I have never heard my wife say one time when she's asked if she has something and has it, no, go get your own. Not one time. Because love is kind. Am I making sense to somebody today?
Yes.
Love is kind. Verse 6 says, love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. Don't lie to Mom, and do not, definitely not, lie to Dad.
Yeah.
Verse 7 says, love always protects. Love always protects. You want to get in trouble? You get between a mama bear and her cub. It will turn ugly fast. Just for being in the vicinity of that cup. We got some mama bears that are coming out the den, shall we say, over this stuff that's happening in the school system. And good for them. Papa bears need to get involved. Don't mess with my kids, right, Mama? I was raised on a dairy farm, as many of you know, maybe some of you don't. Dairy farms typically have lots of cats. We were a typical dairy farm. We had a lot of cats. One time, a mama cat had a litter of kittens. She had them stashed away in the corner of the barn where there was some straw. Had them nestled in there. Well, this was after the 65 flood, and after the 65 flood, all the farms that got flooded, including all of our farms, were underwater. All three farms my dad was running then were underwater. including the one we lived on. And we had to move out of the house we lived in for a month and move up on the bluff with my grandparents in the great big house up there on the bluff for a month. I was in second grade, but I remember this like it happened yesterday. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. This mama cat encountered what we came to call them as dump rats. When the dump was flooded, the rats ran ahead of the water and they ended up out in all these farms. And dump rats, you could have saddled. Those rats were bigger than you can even imagine. These rats were way bigger than the cats. I'm not exaggerating, I'm serious. And they were mean. Well, one of those rats decided they were going to have this mama cat's babies. Lunch. The fight was on. Now, mind you, I did not see this happening. I saw the aftermath. What I saw in the aftermath when I went to check on that mama and those kittens is when I found that dump rat that had been chewed up and killed. The sad thing was, I found the mama cat barely alive, nestled up by, she was chewed up, nestled up by her babies, and shortly after died as well. But she gave her life to protect those babies. What is wrong in a culture where so many mothers are killing the babies? Thank God for the mothers that love and protect, like this mama cat I just told you about. Thank God for you mothers that are like that mama cat. Don't mess with my babies, because it's on. I'll fight to the death. Thank God for them mothers. We need to be praying for the women in our culture that believe it's fine to kill their offspring. It's messed up, guys. It's messed up. So love always protects. I could go on and on with examples that I've seen in my life, but I think you got the idea. I got to move on or we'll be here till, I don't know, one, two. Love always trusts, it says in verse 7. Love always protects, it always trusts. I got to say something about that. When trust is broken, trust needs to be re-earned. Am I making sense? It's foolish to trust someone who has a pattern of not being trustworthy. So don't misconstrue what the Word of God is saying. Love always trusts when that person is living a trustworthy life. Am I making sense? Goes on to say in verse 7, always hopes. Mother looks at her children, goes to God in prayer. Lord, they're screwing up right now. But I got hope. I'm not giving up that they're going to grow up to be the godly woman, the godly man that you created them to be. It's a praying mama that always hopes. always perseveres. Verse 7 goes on to say, always perseveres. Love always perseveres. That means love never, ever gives up. Never, ever, ever gives up. Verse 8 sums it all up, says love never fails. Love never, ever fails. If we, all of us, could just operate in love according to the way the Word of God shows us, if we could just do that, we would have good relationships. Now let's look at the list of what love is not. Verse 4 says it does not envy. You know what makes me sad? Is when I see a father that is holding a child down, keeping them from being all that they could be, because they're threatened by them. They don't want them to have better than they did, to do better than they did. I don't understand that. I want better for all of my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, than I have had. I pray for that. Bless them, Lord. Give them way more than what I've had. But I see that happen. In these almost 65 years of life, I pay attention. And I've seen fathers at sporting events that are crazy. I don't know how else to say. They don't realize it, but they're holding their children down. Maybe they're threatened because they don't want them to be faster than they were. They don't want them to jump higher than they did. They don't want them to score more points than they did. Because they want to be the king of the castle. Love does not envy. And a mom wants what's best for their offspring all the time. It does not boast. Love does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not proud. It does not operate in pride. Love is not rude. Verse 5. Verse 5, it also says it is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. So in other words, if we truly love, then it's not about us. More of what I was talking about earlier, that's typical of my wife. Here, you want some more of this? I'll just get myself something else. Not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Still in verse 5, it is not easily angered. There's a time to get angry, right? The big thing is not to sin in our anger. See, that's the trouble I get. I got to keep myself in check always because generally if I come uncorked, I'm going to do something stupid. So, anybody else? So I do everything I can to keep from coming uncorked. Because love is not easily angered. My wife doesn't get mad as easy as I do, but when she does get mad, get out the way. Lay down, play dead. She might sniff you and go on her way. Boy, am I going to pay for that. You weren't ready for that, were you? This is a tough one, guys. Love keeps no record of wrongs. But can we talk a minute? Who will be honest and say, you know, I'm one of those, I keep score. I don't physically write it down, but I got it right here. So when a fight breaks out and you get mad, maybe it's at the children, maybe it's at your spouse. And somehow, not only the event that you're fighting about at the time, but you start gathering from the past all of these things that you got here from keeping score. And you drag all of that in there to make your case. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And you keep gathering it in there. You remember you did this and you did this and you did this, and the person that's in the receiving end of this goes, wow, where did that come from? Have you been writing that down? Isn't it true, guys? You know, we can fillet each other with our tongues. And love, it says, doesn't do that. Love keeps no record of wrong. So that means when a problem arises, then we deal with that problem and don't drag everything from the last 15 years into it. I chose 15 because 15-year-olds are challenged to deal with. They're not really quite adults yet, but they are sure that they know more than you do. See, I can say that because I was 15 once, a long time ago. Long time ago. 50 years ago. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love, true love, will keep us from doing evil to another. Verse 8 says, love never fails. Love never, ever, ever fails. Love is forever, and the gifts of the Spirit disappear. Isn't it interesting that it puts this all scrunched right in here? I couldn't leave this alone. It says in verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. I want you to understand what this is talking about, because this has been misinterpreted by a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, a lot of preachers for a long time. This is one of the passages that I call them charismatic bashers use to try to say that the gifts are not for today, that they phased out and they were gone after the last of the apostles died. Wrong. Wrong. That is not what this is saying. What it is saying is love never fails. It is eternal. Love will go in and through all eternity. The gifts of the Spirit will not. Why? Because when Jesus returns, the imperfect disappears. When we are face to face with Jesus, when He returns, there will be no more need for the gifts of the Spirit. So when we read this, and it says, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. That's what it's talking about. So the gifts are for today. The fruit of the Spirit is for today. The fruit of the Spirit is love, right? Fruit of the Spirit, there's 9 listed, but the fruit of the Spirit is love with 8 attributes of what that love is. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Aren't you thankful for moms?
Yes.
My wife hasn't said nothing today, but I know that today's probably kind of hard for her because this is her first Mother's Day without her mom. She didn't say anything to me about it, but I know. See, because 14 and a half years ago, I buried my mom. So it's been 14 Mother Days since that I have my mom no more. Thank God, as believers, we take those loved ones out of our past and we put them into our future.
Amen.
That's the hope that we have as believers in Christ. And our moms live on in us in our memory of them. The memory of them lives on. And might I say, again, I've said this many times, I had the best mother-in-law in the whole world. I really did. She was a godly woman. She was a praying woman. She was probably a big part of the prayers that got me saved. Well, moms, it's a token of our appreciation for being good moms. We, every Mother's Day, give away a rose to each one of the moms that are in our service on Mother's Day. Again, it's a token of the appreciation that we have for you being good moms. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have Pastor Jim help me. And you can come up after we pray and get your flower. Be careful, these do have thorns. They are sharp. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is so concise. Lord, for putting in your word what it is and what it is not when we refer to love. Lord, help us to live out through the power of your Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Fill us full of that kind of love, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our mothers that are here today. Lord, I pray a double blessing on every one of them. I pray, Lord, that you keep them healthy, that you keep them strong, that, Lord, you just use them to be who you made them to be, Lord God, to be a blessing to their families, Lord God. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can come up, please.
Service in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.